felt that we could tell a story to the public about an electric utility that could, in fact, be very innovative into the future.
This week, we learn how ordinary citizens can mount a sophisticated challenge to the energy status quo. Listen in and hear Ken Riegelson of Boulder, Colorado, explain the remarkable results of the citizen-driven model for a clean energy system in his hometown, and how the city is working to make this vision of a local, innovative, clean energy utility into reality. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion. Ken, I have to say, when I first saw the results of your energy modeling, I was blown away. Could you tell our listeners some of the bottom line conclusions of the remarkable model that you and other volunteers put together for Boulder's energy system?
The key elements of what we found were that we could do 50% renewable energy starting out on the new electric utility, and that we could do that at rates and reliability that were competitive with what we were being charged now. And this led to more than a 60% reduction in greenhouse gases, in part because of the conversion of Colorado. We have a lot of coal power right now, almost 60%, and much of that would have been converted into natural gas. And then, of course, by doing 50% renewables, we've got the other big part of the reduction. This allowed us to do things like meet Kyoto Protocol very early in the process, and that we felt that we could tell a story to the public about an electric utility that could, in fact, be very innovative into the future.
Now, tell me, why is it that you would do a model for the city's energy system? Boulder has done a lot of really impressive things with renewable energy and around climate change. Why do you need to model its electricity system in order to make any further progress?
I think the key issue for us came about in late 2010, and a small group of us that had been meeting for a number of years on the topic of how do we move forward in clean energy, a number of us had actually worked at the Public Utilities Commission around renewable energy or around fossil fuels. And, you know, when you're at the Public Utilities Commission, Xcel shows up with their experts and they say, well, our model says, and you know, you get a little while of that, and you kind of get tired of it, and you say, well, we lose, because when Xcel says, our model says, thus and such, you know, we can only do this much renewables, well, it'd be nice if we could respond to that. And so then we said, you know, gee, there's a lot of bright people in Boulder. What would happen if we got a number of people together and said, let's try to do our own modeling? And we ended up with about a core of about 7 or 8 people and maybe as many as 25 other people that contributed in some way to both the technical modeling and the financial modeling. And many of them retired professors. In one case, we had a professor of accounting that worked with us on the financial modeling. To people that are in the field of renewables, wind and solar, to other kinds of technical experts. We had a hydrologist working with us. It was a remarkable group of people. And then we found that there were some tools that we could have for very reasonable money. And the key tool is Homer Energy System. So that's kind of the background. And the reason to do it is because you really want to be credible when you stand up in front of a group of people and you say, well, we think we could do renewables. Well, you don't sound very credible. When you stand up and you show a graph and you say, our modeling shows that based on these assumptions that we can do 50% renewables at rate parity with Xcel, then you have a very different discussion with people. It made it so that when we talked, people could listen, that Xcel would say things and we could come back to them and say, no, that's not what the modeling says. This is what the modeling says based on these assumptions.
So you have this remarkable model. As you mentioned, you know, a dramatic increase in renewable energy for a city-owned utility over the electricity offered by the incumbent, Xcel Energy, a significant reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. Do you think Boulder will be able to follow through and create a city-owned municipal utility that would, in fact, be able to achieve some of these remarkable results that have been shown in your model?
To know, the city really needed to take our modeling and using that as sort of a start, And they said, we need to do much better. And so they had far more resources than we had. They put together community groups where Boulder has all these incredible experts. We had a person that was retired from the Public Utilities Commission, Warren Wendling, and he was the chief engineer of the Public Utilities Commission for 30 years. And he was on our citizen community team that was looking into the technical modeling. We had a whole number of other people, international experts in reliability, that happened to live in Boulder and care about what Boulder is doing. Then there were the paid consultants, and all these people put this system together, and then we had the actual modelers themselves using all these assumptions that came from other experts. So for wind, we went to the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, NREL, for wind data on what we thought wind prices were going to do, and we went to the wind industry. When the city was asking these people, the city gets a lot different responses than with just a citizen group. The final piece of the puzzle, remember, we're trying to say, can the city really do this? And can the city really acquire this system and do the renewables? And the city hired a third-party independent reviewer. His name was Gregory Booth, and he's the president of Power Services. And he made this presentation back after looking at absolutely everything that the city did, financial, legal, and technical. And what he said is very interesting. This is a quote from him. I've never seen anyone do an acquisition study in such detail and with as many components as Boulder has. I have performed $1 billion worth of successful acquisition projects, and I promise you that those models didn't come anywhere near the level of study and risk assessment that Boulder's does. Put it another way, the city gets an A+ on their modeling efforts from this independent reviewer.
So there are other cities that are considering this switch to a city-owned utility, including Minneapolis, Minnesota, Santa Fe, New Mexico. They've already published a first cut feasibility study that includes some of this energy modeling around renewables. You know, you just mentioned that Boulder was able to do this A+ very rigorous effort. Do you think this is something that other cities are capable of doing? As you mentioned, there was this citizen-led effort and you had some remarkable resources in terms of individuals that lived in the community and were committed to this and had that expertise. Can it be replicated in other communities?
We think so. From the very start of our looking into clean energy, we knew that if we fix Boulder perfectly, if we got to zero carbon emissions, we didn't do much. The city of Boulder is about 100,000 people, about 45,000 electric meters, and yes, it would be great to have an example, but the more that we did that could be followed by others, the better off we would be in terms of what the world needs, which is a very fast switch to renewable energy. So we consciously documented as we went all of the parts of this. So we, in fact, have the modeling tool that we use is called Homer Energy. We have a document that lists every single assumption and where we got that assumption from. And this is a citizen modeling group. And the actual Homer file itself. So you get to start with that information to begin with. This is a huge step up. We are very happy to provide our own time to other groups that are interested in doing this modeling. So that's part of the answer. The other thing that we learned is a little bit harder to understand. When it comes down to it, the key issue that the modeling shows was that we could do a lot of renewables, but to do that, we had to not have baseload power plants. And so this is a key issue. This is true no matter where you are. Renewables are variable. When the sun's shining, you have solar, and when the sun's not shining, you don't. And so, in some ways, the fact that we've done as much extensive modeling, the way that somebody should look at it is to take our modeling and say, what has to be different, not we have to start from the very beginning. And then can people? Well, yes, definitely. We did it. Yeah, we have some bright people. But every time I talk to other places, to other cities, I have talked to people in Santa Fe and Minneapolis both, I'm incredibly impressed at how much people know about these topics already. Things that we didn't know when we started. And so it is possible to do this. And well worth doing.
So you've put together a remarkable model, and the city has gone a step further. Other cities like Santa Fe have already gotten some, at least first cut modeling done. Is that good enough to win in what has, politically speaking, become quite a battle against the incumbent for-profit utility monopoly?
Well, I think the answer is yes. I say that with a little bit of reservation because you never know exactly what's going to happen in the future. We've had now three political votes in Boulder. The first was in 2010, and there we asked our citizens to replace the franchise fee. The franchise fee is a small fee, not that the electric utility pays, but that everybody that writes a bill to the electric utility, it's like a tax almost. You pay it to the electric company pays it to the city. What is it for? Well, when you have an electric company inside the city, there are times that you use city services for the electric company. For example, if a power line goes down, falls on a road, you need safety services. You need the police right there. Well, that costs money. Well, that's the purpose of this money. But the utility doesn't pay it. The people of, in our case, Boulder, pay that. What we did is we said, we don't want to have a franchise. The franchise is a 20-year contract that commits us to Xcel Energy. We wanted to have time to look at the possibility of a clean energy utility of the future. And to do that, we couldn't sign the contract. Well, our contract was due, and we needed to replace the revenue for the city. So we replaced the franchise fee, called it an occupation tax. Same money, just a different name on the bill. We actually passed two initiatives in 2011, one that said the city council is authorized to move forward with municipal electric utility if we can show that we can do rates, reliability that are competitive, and renewables that are better than our existing electric utility. And the second initiative was to say that we needed a small additional tax in order to pay for the studies that were done, because the studies, we wanted the studies to be as comprehensive as possible. And both of those passed, and there, Xcel Energy outspent us 10-1 on that. They did not want these to pass. And then most recently now in 2013, Xcel Energy placed onto the ballot by paying petitioners to come through and get signatures onto the ballot, an issue that would have killed municipalization. And there we won with 69% of the vote, even though Xcel outspent us 3-1 in that campaign. So the answer is it enough to win? If you can tell a good enough story, not just the technical story, that's what the modeling helps you with, and the financial story, again, modeling helps you with that. But you also have to tell the story of how a city can run a utility and do very well at it. Most cities run their own water utilities and do extremely well. Why is an electric utility any different? So can we win? Well, we have been so far. Will we win for the future? That remains to be seen.
So Ken, you mentioned before that you have put together some resources from your experience doing the energy modeling that other people can tap into. Where can folks go to learn more?
So for the specific question of municipalization, there is a website with actually very little detail on it, but we hope to put more information there in the future, called Muni, M-U-N-I, 101.org. So Muni, the numbers 101.org. On my website, energyshouldbe.org, there's a tab for Delve, as in Delve Deeper, to go deeper into the issue of modeling. And there you'll find three videos right at the top of that webpage that talk about modeling. It says, why do we model? What results did we get from the modeling effort in Boulder? It actually shows part of the modeling team in one of the slides. And I think there are three videos, and they add up to about 14 minutes. There's another video that has more than 3,000 views on it, which talks about this very specific issue of why baseload coal and nuclear don't work with renewable. The title is, to allow lots of renewables, baseload coal and nuclear must go. So that's a 3-minute video. And then there's a much longer video that's a video introduction to a spreadsheet that you can download from that energyshouldbe.org webpage, the Delve Deeper page, that talks about, the spreadsheet is a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, and it gives you modeling data, actual how much electricity do we need to generate, called load data, and for Boulder, solar and wind data that you can manipulate to actually see what happens as you increase the amount of renewables in an electrical system over the course of a year.
That was ILSR Senior Researcher John Farrell speaking with Ken Riegelson, one of the leaders of the citizen-led energy modeling effort in Boulder, Colorado. You can see the results of Boulder's energy model and its potential to transform the local energy economy at ILSR.org. You can also learn more about the advantages of municipal utilities at muni101.org or about the electricity system of the 21st century at energyshouldbe.org. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.